Okay, good morning, everyone. We are continuing our discussion, our focus on Yerushalayim. And the truth is that we could spend so many more weeks. There are so many topics, aspects of Yerushalayim, how Yerushalayim relates to Talmud Torah, to Tefillah, the fact that Yerushalayim is not mentioned in the Chumash. We could go on. We could spend many years on the question of how do we understand and relate to the city of Yerushalayim, but we want to be able to cover a few more cities, B'siyata D'Shemaya, before this Zman ends, as we're moving into the summer Zman. So this morning's presentation is going to be the last discussion in this Tekufa, in this time, on Yerushalayim. And we're going to focus on a particular aspect of Yerushalayim that has to do with affect. And we'll see what that means. I hope everybody who is on the email received the Mar Mukomos this morning. And if you did not, don't worry. I have the screen sharing here. One second. So I'm going to put it back up on the screen so that everybody can see. Before we start with the Mar Mukomos, I want to begin with an introductory passage that also went with your Mar Mukomos this week. There were two attachments to the email. One was a section of this book, and the other one was the Mar Mukomos. So the first place that we're going to discuss this week is actually a section of this book. This book is called Defining the Moment. Now, I don't know very much about science. I don't know very much about anything, but I certainly don't know very much about science or medicine. But I do know somebody who does know an awful lot about medicine, and his name is Rabbi Dr. David Shabtai. David Shabtai is a colleague of mine, is a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a great educator. He's the rabbi of the Sephardic community in BRS. And he wrote a book, this book, Defining the Moment, about the issue of brain death in halacha. Now, I happen to be learning this sefer in a different context for a different reason, and I came across a medical phenomenon that maybe to some of you, and I could see some of the physicians on this screen, maybe you know that it's obvious. You would have said, I can't believe you didn't know that. But to me, this was not obvious at all. I had no idea, and I found it absolutely fascinating. And this is perhaps one way to begin our discussion today of Yerushalayim, and that is about this issue of circulation, the circulatory system of the human being, and specifically a phenomenon called automaticity. And the physicians here, and I see also some spouses of physicians, so maybe if many of you already know this, but to me, it was amazing that There are two different organs that work together in two different systems in a very interesting way. The respiratory system and the circulatory system. Rick, I see you just turned on the screen. You're like, I can't believe he's going down this road. This is not good. No, we're going to get there. It's going to be okay. I'm not going to say anything that's not in this book. Respiration. He tells you, Dr. Shabtai tells you respiration has to do with breathing. We breathe in and our lungs take in the air, and then they take the air that has little molecules of oxygen. The way the Rebbe Moshe did this is amazing. And then it transfers the oxygen into the little blood cells that come, little capillary lug. They go around the heart, around the lungs. They get this connection. However that works, he explains it. The respiratory system provides the oxygen to the body. And then the circulatory system is the heart having the blood come in and go out and taking that oxygen and transferring it through the blood cells through the entire body. And Dr. Shabtai tells something here that is, to me, is incredible. I had no idea. It's really fascinating. And that is that the respiratory system, our ability to breathe, our lungs, is controlled by the nervous system, by the brain. And that if, Rachmana Litzlan, a person's brain would cease to instruct their lungs to breathe, so then they would not breathe anymore. And the only way to, for that person to breathe without the instructions of their lungs would be to have a mechanical force cause their lungs to breathe. He says, but the circulatory system is different. And I didn't realize this. I never knew this. It's unbelievable. The circulatory system runs on a principle called automaticity, which means that the heart pumps blood irrespective of the brain. He says, when a person undergoes a heart transplant, they take the heart from one person and they implant it, they transplant it to another person. And in the new person, the heart is not connected to the nervous system of the new person, but it keeps running. Because he says, as long as there is gas exchange, as long as there is the interaction of the outgoing of the empty, so to speak, the carbon dioxide coming from one end and the oxygen coming from the other end, the heart is going to keep beating. The heart keeps going. It's automatic. In stark contrast to respiratory control, the heart does not require any neurological input to initiate a beat. And then he goes on the next page that you have there, if you want to read more about this, to talk about the role of a ventilator versus a heart-lung machine when they have to circumvent someone's heart during a particular medical procedure. But I thought this was incredible. And I thought that this is a huge yesod to understand Yerushalayim, which is obviously, of course, why we're talking about it today. The whole notion that the circulatory system, the heart beats, irrespective of what's going on around it, it's our first point of discussion. Let's put that in the background. So far, so good. There's a way on this thing that you can raise a hand. So if anybody wants to protest or raise a hand, so far, so good. Anybody wants to say what I said is not correct, I'm just reading what it says here in the book, so we're still okay. Mrs. Poland is there. I don't know if Stan Olav Shalom is looking down at me. He would be, if he was in the room, he might be giving me like a funny look or a good look. I can't tell. His neshama is looking down. He's learning with us. So that's the first thing. So now I want to switch to the other source that you have in your email. And we're going to put it on the screen so we can learn it together. A very interesting Mar Mokum. This is a Gemara. It's a Mishnah in Sota toward the end, where the Mishnah tells us a rule. Ve'en Yerushalayim mevia egla arufa. If Rachmana Litzlan, out on the highway, somewhere in the land of Israel, there is an unknown victim of a murder, a person is found deceased, and we can't identify who the perpetrator is. So we have a practice in halacha, it's known as egla arufa. Egla arufa means that you would take an egla, a calf, you would take it down to a wadi, va'arfu sham esa egla banachal, and you would break off the neck of this egla, of this calf, in the wadi, and they would have a special declaration. The Bezdin, the rabbinical court of the nearby city, would say, Yodeinu lo shafchas hadam hazeh, we're not responsible for this murder. As Chazal point out famously, these people would say, the Bezdin would say, we didn't let him go without any accompaniment. We weren't abandoning him. We didn't leave him without any levoya. We're not responsible. However, the Mishnah says that if Rachmana Litzlan, a person was found deceased on the road, and the nearest city was Yerushalayim, the Beis Din Yerushalayim would not follow this process. They would not bring an Egla Arufa. So why not? Is it beneath the dignity of the holy city of Yerushalayim that its Beis Din should have to say, Yadeinu lo shafchas hadam hazeh ma'apetom? Adrabah, Yerushalayim is called to task in the Nevi'im, Rachmana Litzlan, when it's referred to as an Ir HaDamim, when the kings of Yerushalayim were corrupt and killing people, and it was like the Wild West. It was horrible. So you have to own up to it. So why is it that Yerushalayim is excluded, is exempt from the laws of Egla Arufa? That's the next issue. The second Mar Malkum here, we're going to take another totally different context and see how these fit together. This is a Bereishis Rabba Parshas Lech Lecha, where we're going to meet Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. We spoke about him last time, that the Medrash identifies Malki Tzedek as Shem ben Noach, and he was Melech Shalem. Shalem is half of the name of Yerushalayim, right? We spoke about that, and that the Rabbono Shel Olam created a composite name, that there is Yireh and Shalem, Yerushalayim is together. Great. So Medrash says something fascinating, that this man, Malki Tzedek, has a funny name, Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek. Umalki Tzedek Melech Sholem. What does it mean? Look on the second line. The word Tzedek, he says, Hamakom Hazeh, this place, meaning Yerushalayim, this place is Matzdik. Lahatzdik literally means to justify, to make righteous. It's Matzdik Es Yoshvav, the people who live there. Malki Tzedek, Adoni Tzedek, Tzedek Nikreis Yerushalayim, Shenemar Tzedek Yolinba. Remember, last week, I think it was, or 2 weeks ago, we introduced the first time the word Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh, is in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. It was a Canaanite city that was owned by, it was ruled by a man by the name of Adoni Tzedek. So the first person to rule there was Malki Tzedek, then is Adoni Tzedek. The city is called Tzedek. So why is it called Tzedek, says the Medrash? It's Matzdik Es Yoshvav. Lahatzdik means to make righteous. So if you look, I have this fantastic set of this red Medrash HaMavur. It's a beautiful explanation. It's a beer, a pirish on the Medrash on the bottom. See, so he says Lahatzdik means, like v'yitzdiku es hatzadik, it means to make somebody innocent. Take people who are otherwise should be or would be considered chayav, guilty, and we say no. But tzedek, they're permitted, they're not chayav. So what's the pshat that Yerushalayim, if there are people who are living there who are chayav, and we say, no, they're tzaddikim, they're zakai. What's going on? What does it have to do with Yerushalayim? Why is Yerushalayim matzdik? What's going on? So number one, we have our gas exchange, our cardio system. Number two, we have Yerushalayim being excluded, exempt from Egla Arufa. And number three, Yerushalayim is matzdik es Yoshvav. Okay. So here it is, and it's mamish, so, so beautiful. It's amazing. This teaching, I saw it in a sefer in one of Rabbi Naaman's essays on the cities of Israel, and he gives you the Mar Malkum, so I tracked it down. This is one of a couple of places in the Zohar HaKadosh that it makes the following analogy. You see here at source number three on the screen. This is from the Tikkuni Zohar. Says the Zohar HaKadosh, it's in a different context about something else, but it makes the comment that Bahaizimna at that time, Mistakna Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is fixed. Why? Deihi Liba. It is the lave. Says the Zohar HaKadosh that the city Yerushalayim is the heart of the Jewish people. Different parts of Israel are different organs, different limbs. And that's the greater context there. But Yerushalayim is the lev, is the heart. And of course, now this is going to relate to all of us, because elsewhere in the Tikkun HaZohar, in the Tikkun Samach Tes, it says, V'do gufa debarnash de iskari olam katan. Every person is a little world, which means each of us has Yerushalayim. Each of us has a lev. Our lev is like Yerushalayim. What is the lave? It's the seat of emotion. It's the seat of love, of ahava. It's the affect. It's the difference between the mind and the heart. There is an incredible, magnificent, beautiful essay from Shlomo Fischer. I don't know if you can see this sefer. Let me close this and tell me if you can see it. This sefer is called Beis Yishai, one of the great Gaonim, the great Gedolei Hador, who's still living quietly in Israel. His name is Reb Shlomo Fischer. And Reb Shlomo Fischer authored several from. This is called The Drushas of the Beis Yishai. He has an essay here called, it's in Simon Mem Zayin, called Maimer HaMoach VaHalev. The essay of the mind, the moach, and the lave. Like some of you are familiar with Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, logic of the heart, logic of the mind, logic of the heart, logic of the heart, logic of the mind. I forget which direction it is. He looks at the aron, and he says, which is the more important part of the aron? Is it the luchos? Is it the Torah, the teaching, what's inside the box? Or is it the kaporis, where the kruvim are? So he explains beautifully. He says that the mind, the intellect, the moach, that is the kruvim. Excuse me. That is the Torah. That is the luchos. That's the written law. That's inside the aron. And in that respect, the kaporis, which is the covering with the kruvim, is just a cover. It's a cap. It's a lid. On the other hand, from a different perspective, the kaporis is an independent entity. That's why he points out in the psukim, you'll find that the kaporis is sometimes treated as an independent klisharis, as an independent entity. Why? Because that's where the kruvim are. That's where the shechina was. That's where the embrace was. The kruvim were mu'urim. That's what happened when they came into the Beis HaMikdash and they saw there was an expression of love. So Reb Shlomo Fischer explains that that's the heart. So yes, from one perspective, the seichel, the intellect, if you were to ask the Rambam would say the Rambam was an intellect. He was a great gaon in the world of the mind. So he would say the seichel is ideal. But others would say it's not all about the seichel. If you look maybe in the non-Rambam communities by the chassidim, they would say that the lev, the heart, is the main thing. We interact, we hug the Ribbono Shalom at the heart. It is true, and it's not for today. Yerushalayim, of course, is Har HaMoriah. Sham Misham Ho Yotza Hora LaOlam. Torah goes out from Yerushalayim. Ki Mitzion Teitze Sora. So there's an element of the mind. There's the Moach. There's the Seichel. Yes, that's one aspect. But then there's another aspect. And that is that Yerushalayim is the Liba. It's the heart. It's the place of love. It's the Ava. No wonder so many people who have tremendous Avas Yisrael, so many tzaddikim, they all yearn for Yerushalayim, they look for Yerushalayim, they wanted to be in Yerushalayim, because on that high level, it attracts the people of love in so many cases. And now look at this incredible, incredible ha'ara from Rabbi Yonasan Abishitz in his drasha for Elos, a very long drasha. In the beginning of the Yaris Dvash and Chelek Aleph, you see on the Mar Mokum, it's number 4. Says Reb Yonasan, the Rebbe Reb Yonasan Abishitz, he says, a place, v'chein, tamid it's always, kol hamakudesh mechavero, a place that is more holy than its colleague, than its peer, ava yoser mechavero, it has more love, ve'in beinam kas klal, and there's no anger there. V'Yerushalayim b'kudeshes me'ora Yisrael. Yerushalayim is the most holy. Av hakas b'fachos b'anshe Yerushalayim. Therefore, people are less angry in Yerushalayim. V'haysa ha'ava azar b'yosh v'Yerushalayim. There was so much love. Mamash people, they opened their hearts in Yerushalayim. V'lakach amru, therefore they said, lo amar adam l'chavero tzar li hamokam b'Yerushalayim. Nobody ever said, there's no room for me in Yerushalayim. I can't fit. That's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos, right? The Gemara quotes in Sanhedrin. Ki kedahavi rechiman, rechimoson, aziza v'chulei. The Gemara has a principle that when there is a relationship of love, people can manage in very, very quiet quarters, in very tight spaces. But when there's no relationship of love, even a large space won't contain them. Ava Aza in Yerushalayim. Nobody ever said, there's no place for me, because people open their hearts. We've talked about the machlises, Heni machlis aleh hashalom, lahavdo ben chaim lachaim, Rabbi Machlis. People, they mamish, they are the personification of love. So where do they go? They go from Brooklyn to Yerushalayim, because the Yerushalayim is the makom of Ava. Rabbi Ari Levin, he was kulo rotz of Ava, tocho rotz of Ava. So he goes to Yerushalayim. The Imkain says the Rebbe Yonasan, awesome shot. Nimtza Haruk Samach Yerushalayim. Let's say you find somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, who's dead on the road near Yerushalayim. Hari Zebecheskas She'echad Me'anshe Chutz Yerushalayim Hargo. It must be, you have to assume that somebody outside of Yerushalayim killed him. Why? Ki Yerushalayim Nismata Ma'od Midas Hakas. There isn't a lot of anger, a lot of kas in Yerushalayim. V'hoya l'rov kedusha rov ava. Because there was so much kedusha, there was so much ava, v'chiba, ula'ein safik she'inu me'anshi Yerushalayim. Of course, the murderer wasn't from Yerushalayim, because who would be so angry in Yerushalayim? V'lakach ein mevi in egla arufa. Says the Rebbe of Yonasan, that's why they don't bring an egla arufa. Because an Egel Arufa says, maybe the murderer came from this neighborhood. And the people in Yerushalayim said, we have so much love for all Jews. We love Jews. It's not Shayach that that would happen here. So some of you are thinking that maybe this is the Pshat in the Gemara, in the Talmud Yerushalmi, in the little box here in source number 5, based on the Pasuk, Yerushalayim Habanuya Ki'ir Shechubra Lo Yachtov. Yerushalayim is rebuilt. Ki'ir shechubra lo yachtov. That everybody connects. Everyone is connected through Yerushalayim. Says the Yerushalmi in Chagiga, Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Yerushalayim babnu yikir shechubra lo yachtov. Ir shehi ose kol Yisrael lachaverim. Ir sheose kol Yisrael lachaverim. It's the city that makes everybody chaverim. Now, what does this mean? So this means two things. It means on two levels. On one level, it means Ir Shechur B'Layachtav. It's the place where we can all feel at home. We can be together. We can be Chaverim. We can love each other. It's the place, Tocho Rots of Ava. It's the place of Ava, like the Rebbe Yonasan explained. When we get to Yerushalayim, we hold hands, we make a circle, we come to the Beis HaMikdash, we can get along. When we go home to our other neighborhoods, unfortunately, sometimes there's machlokas, there's pirud, there's, you know, we don't want to talk about it. But in Yerushalayim, we're all chaverim. But that's actually the drush pshat in this Gemara. This Yerushalmi, there's a parallel, it's a different drush, it's actually not from this pasuk in Chagiga. This actually has halachic significance, which brings us maybe to this deeper level of Ava. And that is that usually we have strict standards when it comes to trustworthiness, ne'monos, on areas of halacha that require sensitivity. And in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, just like there are today, there were groups of people. In those days, they were usually referred to a class of people as Amei Ha'aretz. You know, those who learn Gemara, Amei Ha'aretz, these ignoramuses, they come up very often in halachic discussions, and they have a certain halachic category because they weren't careful about certain tithes or keeping various truma or kodshim in the state of tahara, and they couldn't always be relied upon. They didn't have that level of trustworthiness. But the Mishnah there in Chagiga is talking about how on Yontif, on the Regel, when people came to Yerushalayim, even though they wouldn't be trusted the rest of the year, Aliyah LeRegel is different. Yerushalayim is different. Yerushalayim makes these people Chaverim. Chaverim, in the context of halacha, means somebody who makes a commitment to observe a high, scrupulous level of observance of the laws of Tumah and Tahara, and of course other laws, And it's a standing. That's why even in some shuls, I don't know how common it is today, but in the last generation, in my grandparents' generation, in the Yekesha community, I don't know if anybody is familiar with this, people would have a title of Hechaver. They would be called a Chaver. They wouldn't be, let's say they were upstanding, a Chashiv, a person in the community, a Balabas, who is very respected, they would be called Hechaver so-and-so. I know there are people like this. I've gone to certain shuls here in Chicagoland. Someone, I guess, I think I look around the screen, I see some of you even know this person, that his father is referred to as a Chaver. Because a Chaver is a distinguished Jew. A Jew that we look up to. So what happens here in Yerushalayim? You take Mamish, a plain Jew, who never, he's ignorant, maybe he's even not careful. But when he comes to Yerushalayim, he becomes a Chaver. And that's why the Gemara has to say, Me'ata afilo b'shari mos hashana, maybe all year? No, Amrav Zeir bilvad b'shal shesham alu shvatim. It's dafka during the Azman of Aliyah l'regel that there is this special quality. But it's when everybody goes up to the regel, when everybody goes to Yerushalayim, we all become chaverim. All Jews. And where does that come from? I wonder if it's the same nekuda. It's the same nekuda, it's the nekuda of Ava. Because when we love someone, does it really matter if they did exactly what we want them to do or not exactly what we wanted them to do? You know, I pray for Siyata Deshmaya with our children. Mecham and I were trying doing the best that we can, B'siyata Deshmaya, to raise our children according to the way that our parents raised us, Beruach Yisrael Saba. We ask for Siyata Deshmaya. You know, our children are still young, but even when they're still young, they don't always comply and do exactly what we would love them to do. I see maybe some other people belong to the parents' union in this shir. It's not, you know, do we stop loving our children even if they make different choices? Hopefully not. Because Ava, even if we might be upset at them, even if we might be frustrated, disappointed, it doesn't matter. But parents love their children. There's an innate Ava. That Ava exists. It doesn't matter whether a Chaver, Ama Oretz, Talmud Chacham, whether the Ben Atam, Ben Arosha, Ben Asheini Adialishal, Ben Achacham. It doesn't matter because there's Ava. So much so that we have this idea, Ava Mekalkelas Hashashura. We love people that love blinds us. We can't even see straight. Because it's the place of Ava. We look at everybody. The Ribbono Shel Olam looks at all Jews in Yerushalayim. He says, I love you. Everybody's good. In this respect, now we understand what that Medrash of Bereishis Rabba said in source number 2. It's makom, it's matzdikes yoshvav. It makes everybody into a tzaddik. Everybody who moves to Yerushalayim is a tzaddik. Because when you're in the makom of Ava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at his children, bonim atem, with a feeling of Ava, he says, oh, this is the place of Ava, this is the heart. That heart, we have an open heart to all the children. So we're all chaverim in Yerushalayim, we're all tzaddikim. That Ava, it makes us all welcome. It doesn't matter, it's not toloi on another person. I wonder if that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam made the circulatory system having this incredible phenomenon of automaticity. Maybe we should ask the physicians. Because what it's telling us is that the heart is actually detached from the head, from the mind. Even if our mind tells us this is wrong and that's not okay and I have an issue with this and I have an issue with that, doesn't matter, because the heart is not totally in the head. Love, it doesn't have the constrictions, it doesn't have the constraints of the calculations of the cheshbonos of the mind. It's meant to be totally separate. You could take the heart, cut it out of one person and put it into another person, it'll keep beating. Because the heart doesn't make cheshbonos. What's the difference? It's all about the love. The heart doesn't make cheshbonos at all. It's automaticity. It's Yerushalayim. It's matzdik all of the makomos. And that's why people who have Avas Yisrael, and it's something that we should aspire to at such a high level, their Avas Yisrael blinds them from seeing the differences between this kind or that kind, or the righteous, the not righteous. Right? What's one of the great revolutions, emphases in the world of Chassidus? What does the Baal Shem Tov emphasize to such a great extent? V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, avas Yisrael, as a way of avas Hashem. What does the Alter Rebbe say, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe in the Lubavitcher Sidurim? If you go in the entrance, the beginning, the shower, the Lubavitcher Sidurim, before you start Shacharis, the Lubavitchers, they say, we're going to accept upon ourselves the mitzvah v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. So therefore, it's not shocking that by the Lubavitchers, do they distinguish between frum, not frum? Do they care what you look like? Do they care where you come from? By the Chassidim, so many stories, so many maisalach about the Baal Shem Tov and the holy beggars and the holy thieves and the whole, it doesn't matter because it's Ahava. We don't use our moach. We don't use our mind. We use our heart. Yerushalayim says, look at all Jews like tzaddikim. Love all Jews, zelo mishaneh. There were people who personified this. There were Yerushalmi people who personified this. If you look on the screen, there's an absolutely fascinating letter. Fascinating letter on the left side. This letter is written on Zion Adar, Tuf Resh Pei Aleph, 1921. It was written on a boat. It was written by the Halaga, the great Rab Avram Mordechai Alter, Zecher Tzadeh V'Kodesh Levracha, the Ger Rebbe, known as the Imre Emes. The Imre Emes was one of the great leaders of world Jewry. And you know that at that time, in the early 1920s, there was a lot of tension going on in Israel between different groups. In particular, in Yerushalayim, there was a lot of tension between the Yishuv HaYashan, the old traditional Torah community, and the Yishuv HaChadash, and Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. Rav Cook came to Yerushalayim, and there was a great controversy about appointing him as the rabbi of Yerushalayim, as their chief rabbinate, and he was staunchly opposed by Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld and many others. And the Ger Rebbe, the Halaga Imre Emes, came with a few other great, great tzaddikim, great rebbes. They came to Israel, they came to Yerushalayim, actually, to talk to both sides and to mediate. And the Ger Rebbe went back to Europe, and on the boat, on his way back to Poland, he wrote a letter about his impressions. He actually met with Rav Cook on 3 different visits to Israel. V'harav hagon Rav Avram Cook sheyichye. This letter was printed in the multi-volume biography of Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, of the chief architect of the Yishuv HaYashan, who so opposed Rav Cook, even though they personally had mutual respect, but there were a lot of issues there. So it's interesting, because what is the Alter, Rav Avram Mordechai Alter, the Halaga Imre Emes, write? He writes that Rav Cook Sheyichya, by the way, the same title that he applies to Rav Cook, HaRav HaGon Rav Avram Cook, is the same exact title that he applies to Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. He didn't look at one as higher than the other from the title perspective, which is interesting. He came from representing the Aguda. Hu ish ha'eshkolos betorah uvamidos terumios. He was a man, Rav Cook was, a full man, ish ha'eshkolos, of encompassing everything like Rabbi Akiva. Gam Rabim Omer, many people say Kiusone Botza. He hates bribery. Ulam Ahavaso Litzion Overis Kol Gvul, but his love, Rav Kook had so much Ahava, says the Halaga Imre Emes, that his Ahava is Overis Kol Gvul. It breaks the barriers. And he says that Rav Kook V'Omer Al Tomei Tor. And he makes a mistake by saying the things that are impure are pure. Umizeh bo advar mazarim shebechiburov. What's he talking about? The strange thing in his writings. So in this volume, I don't know if you could see it on the screen, it's called Shivchei Haraya, Shivchei Haraya, Praises of Rav Cook. They have a discussion here. They quote several people who were familiar with this parsha, with this visit, multiple visits of the Ger Rebbe and Rav Cook. They were arguing about one of the things that Rav Kook had written in Oros HaTchiya was about the physical exercise, the gym exercise of the young Zionists, about how that is part of their Alos HaShchina, it's part of the avoda of the physical strength of the new generation. So the Imre Emes and others, they were trying to figure out where is this going? What's going on about this? So he says Rav Kook is making a huge mistake. Now in this book, it describes how Rav Kook responded to the Imre Emes, and he says it's based on the Mora Nevuchim. So that apparently, according to this volume, the Imre Emes said, "Well, we don't learn the Mora Nevuchim." Okay, different strokes for different folks, you could say. Rav Kook says to him, "Go back to the letter here, the Imre Emes." Rav Kook says, I'm reaching out to these people because I'm following the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Atanos and Yad Laposhim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us in Yom Kippur. He says, I reach out even to the wretched, even to the wicked. So, yeah, says the Imre Emes, I disagree with you. Ani Omer ki al zeh misvadim mipnei hayad shenishtalcha v'mikdashecha. He quotes a poetic verse, mipnei hayad, that same yad that was handed against the Beis HaMikdash. So there is a volume. Every historical work has some perspective, some, I guess you would say, I don't want to say bias, but a bent. So this is a beautiful and very important work on Yerushalayim called Where Heaven Touches Earth. It's a masterpiece by David Rossov. But it's interesting that in this section, you get the impression by reading it that he definitely is more inclined to Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld's perspective. He says, you see that the Imre Emes was trying to convince, and he was unsuccessful in convincing Rav Kook to change his mind. He was unsuccessful in convincing Rav Kook to see the truth, that he's making a big mistake. But this volume, the Shivcha Ariya, doesn't see it that way. He doesn't say that Rav Kook was making a mistake. Rav Kook had a mahalach. What's Rav Kook's mahalach? It's this mahalach of Ahava. Take a look at this little piece here. Ha'ava, this is from a Likud. I found this in a beautiful Likud called Nitzotzos. It's a contemporary guy who went through all different sections of Rav Kook's writing and pulled out little shtiklach. He says, Ha'ava, said Rav Kook, he tchushas ha'achdus. It's the feeling of unity. Yesh misha echad im gufo, there is one person who is unified with his body, with himself. One person is unified with his family. There's one person who is unified with his nation. There's a person who is unified with the ganze Welt, with the whole world. This was Rav Kook. The Ava is the Achdus. It's Ir Shechubra Layachdom, it's Ose Kol Yisrael Chaverim. We are chaverim, we are be'achdus. Yerushalayim brings all the shvatim together. There are 13 gates because there are 12 tribes in a Shara Kolel. That's why there's one opinion in the Gemara that Yerushalayim lo neschalka l'shvatim. That's the technical reason the Gemara says in Sota that there's no Egla Rufa. Because everybody belongs in Yerushalayim. We all fit in there. Even if we are Rachmana Litzlan, we're not Tzadikim. It's the Makom, it's Matzdikas Yoshvav. So who am I? I'm a nothing and nobody to stick Lahachnis Roshi Bein Shnei Arma Gedolim Ha'ela, to put my head in between these two great mountains, between the Heilige Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld and the Heilige Rav Kook. But I'm just telling you, it seems that you know why Rav Kook was not Tor B'Dvar Mishnah. He was not making a mistake. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was saying that this Tkufa, this time, it's the time of Geula. We're the Pa'amoni Mashiach. We're coming back to Yerushalayim. We're coming back to Eretz Yisrael. It's the Ir Shechubra Layachdov. It's also Kol Yisrael Chaverim. That doesn't mean that we don't have a Moach. Rav Kook was extremely discerning, and when it was time to criticize and critique and guide, he did so, whether it was the Keren Kayemet or it was issues about sports on Shabbos. Rav Kook was very discerning. Rav Kook was anything but naive. But he had so much Ava. He had that love of Yerushalayim. He had that heart that was disconnected from that perspective. The love of Jews must be, says Rav Kook, it must be disconnected from the Moach. When we see other Jews, it's not totally on the Moach. It's the independence. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam circulatory system that pumps blood to every Aver. Because the Yerushalmi says that all the Jewish people were like different parts of one organism. You wouldn't say that if your left hand hurts, you'd say, my right hand doesn't care. We all are together. Ir shechubah lo yachta of Yerushalayim is the ir shel Ava. In this light, we can appreciate our own lives and how we can look at other Jews, even if we have to make distinctions using our moach, but to nurture a sense of love, to look at those tzaddikim and to become those tzaddikim who loved all Jews, to be Anshei Yerushalayim, to keep going up, not just to Eretz Yisrael, but to Yerushalayim, to that perspective of Ava of others. Halavai, halavai, we should be connected to that lave, the heart of the world, the heart of the nation, the heart of the Jewish people, and each of our hearts with that kind of Avas Yisrael. Have a great week, everybody. Everyone is cordially invited to join us in about 16 minutes. We're going to be starting, Emir Tzashem, our conversation this morning. And this is also a Bechina. It's not accidental that we're going to do this conversation the same day as we had this talk. We're going to be schmoozing with people primarily outside the Orthodox community, talking about the challenges that people are facing and realizing that we're all Jews and we're in this together. So it'll be with a really wonderful, fun group of guests. So I'm going to actually get out of my office, go upstairs and set up in the living room. So have a great day. Thanks everyone for coming. Be well. See you soon.